Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we're going to learn a whole different aspect on giving. And Lord, we've been talking about it in various different types of ways. And I pray, God, that through the insight of your Holy Spirit, we'll find a way to discover whether or not our gifts really meet the test, the litmus test of what real true giving is. Lord, we want to talk today about the things that we do in our gift exchange, as we call it. But today, Lord, we want you to work deep into our hearts and cause us to give like you give. And Lord, we thank you for these things. We praise you for them in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you can maybe seat it. Well, if you want to be honest and talk about giving, and I hope we do, because in this season of the year, it's kind of one of those type of situations where people make amends, they use their giving to make amends for relationships, for not being in contact with folks. We ought to get them something because we haven't talked to them for a while, and et cetera, et cetera. Or they don't want people to feel overlooked at this particular time. But even more telling is the end result of who gets greeting cards and who does not, depending on the statistical account of what happened last year. Especially if you get the expensive photo ones. They didn't give us anything last year, honey. Don't cut them off the list. But this is a season of giving. But it's amazing how we can just kind of, we can put giving through a filter that God doesn't even recognize. And what about this? The story of the Good Samaritan, when we get given close examination, will yield amazing insight about what true giving looks like. You say, how could you get that out of the Good Samaritan? Well, listen to these three questions. Maybe they'll at least touch your spirit on some level. First one is this. Have you ever received a gift that was puzzling to you as to why someone gave it to you because it did not fit your needs or desires? Somebody say amen. Amen. She thinks I need one of these? I got four of them in my closet, okay? Moving on. Have you ever allowed yourself to examine your motivation for who, what, and why you give gifts? Well, we've always done this, and I'm not going to talk to you last minute shoppers because that really gets crazy. Last minute, and of course, you got Amazon, they'll bring everything to your house. You just hit that button and Lord help us, okay? Well, let me take you to the third one quickly. Have you ever given any thought to the possibility that you could be a conduit through which the Holy Spirit can flow and deposit a gift that could change someone's life? And I want to add something to that, forever. If there's going to be a goal for giving, wouldn't you like to have the gift that you give someone to change someone's life forever? And every single person in this room has the capacity to do that. The Good Samaritan, as we call him, is kind of an example of people that sometimes they wouldn't qualify. And I'll get into some of the statistics about him in just a moment. But in the quality of people that you would look for or look at, he really didn't fit the bill, but we'll get to that in a moment. But first thing he asks is the question, what shall I do to gain an inheritance? That is an interesting question. What do you do to gain an inheritance? How do you get on the good side of someone to get in their will? I mean, I'm not making this up. This is in the scripture. And this guy's perspective is so far off. But it's about, he's already thinking about, how can I get the goods on life, or how can I get the best there is to offer? What do I do to get that? But even in his questioning, I believe he has some insight that there's some relationship issues that are involved. Consider this. Well, most gifts that are given are done so with the thought in mind of receiving something in return. That's what we call it. We're going to have a gift exchange. Don't look at me funny. And some of you, after you got a gift from someone this year, you said, honey, we gave them too much. We need to ratchet it down a bit. Because some of you have calculators in your mind. And you saw it when it was on sale. Oh, I'm going to leave it alone. But you find out that that's how we think. The lawyer asked Jesus for the perspective that there is something to be gained by giving. And you know, honestly, there truly is something to be gained by giving, but not with the wrong motivation in the first place. If you think you're going to motivate someone to give you something more by what you do, you've missed the whole idea about grace and redemption. You don't know anything. Because what did you give to Jesus to make him want to look your way? A lot of heartache, pain, misery, and a few other things we won't talk about till later on, okay? How about this? The legality of giving is the thought that our obligation to give will be rewarded by something in return that really we really need or want. You know the scripture, for God so loved the world that he, that whoso should not but have. I want to emphasize that particular word, or actually a couple words, so loved. Ever think about how much you so love someone that you're willing to give them something as a result of you giving up everything? Why don't you take that just for a moment as we plow through the rest of this, just at least a portion of it. The lawyer had it wrong because his thought process was confused with his understanding that you can give something to gain something that can only be obtained through relationship. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Where have he been? Because in order to inherit something, you must be born into the family. If you want eternal life, I'll tell you what, you got to be born again. Nobody gets kind of saying, well, you know, I've done a lot of good things, and I know God's going to take that in consideration. Yes, he will. Depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That is what the sum total of what you say. Wait a minute, I did a lot of good things. Our culture now is embracing a word that many times people will think will substitute for a real relationship with Jesus. And you know what it's called? Community. I'm a very community-minded person. I care about all types of people, and there are no racial barriers in my community, and so I just will embrace everybody. Good luck with that. Examine this a little bit further. Your birthright is not something that you worked for. I was born in the Probasco family. I did not have any choice as far as that's concerned. There's nothing I'm deriding about that, but this is what they got. My sister's on the second row, and that's my sister, and she had nothing to do with it. But she is my sister, blood relatives, and we are together forever till Jesus takes one of us home. She didn't apply for me to be in the family. I didn't apply for her, but we are stuck. Come on, I want to make it plain to you. So this guy, this lawyer, he's got all this, what do I do to inherit eternal life? Be born into the family. That's how you get it. But what about this? So when you begin to examine this a little further, you will never be good enough to qualify to receive your inheritance. I look at this Zwicky family. I've known them for a long time. Oh, we're talking at the beginning. When I married him, her to Tom. And Molly, you wasn't nowhere around. Matter of fact, you're the last of the Mohicans in that family. But I saw the process as it went along. And you know, and they started, they had, you know, and he liked girls, evidently, because he got girls. He liked the women factor. But to watch a family evolve from that, it's an amazing thing. But I'll tell you what, you can call yourself a Zwicky if you want to, but I'll tell you what, Kim got something to say about that. She says, I don't remember going to the hospital for you. Well, a phrase that is I'll capture from this, and don't worry about it, I'm not going to try to finish all this message today, but the Lord says, or the word is replied to the Lord, he says, do this and you will live, was Jesus' reply to the lawyer. Now, this wasn't necessarily a to-do list of things to do, he had to do, but he says, loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength is not the whole story. You say, what? Loving your neighbors yourself is added onto that. But some of us are pretty good, you know, we think, with loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I'm here to kind of to assess that as far as giving is concerned. Jesus was not referring that this was all there was to it in order to be saved. And so when we get into the story a little bit deeper, you'll understand this. But finding and embracing the opportunity to serve a neighbor was the key to relationship with Jesus. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope that when you leave here today, you will be looking for opportunities to serve people that you've never met before, and you'll get absolutely nothing out of it. That's what giving's all about. And the way this unfolds, it gives, you know, a couple of people who have opportunity to do that. And wouldn't you know, it starts with the church, a priest. Yes, Lord, we are so spiritual, we can't do nothing right. So, part of the story that kind of opens the story, and a man was going down to Jerusalem, he fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his clothing, and they wounded him, and they're leaving him for half dead. And the priest comes along and says, "Oh, what a shame, that's absolutely dreadful. Person be lying in the gutter like that? My goodness, I'm on my way to the temple. I don't have time for this." Went on the other side of the road. I know you've never done that. I know you've never dismissed the opportunity to sow into someone's life because you had something else on your agenda. You've never done that before. I know you don't. I believe in you. I trust you. No, I don't. Why am I going to lie to you? You try to find some reason not to. Oh, dear God, it's so disgustingly, you know, clothing is soiled. If I touch them, I don't know what they've got. And I don't have any hand wipes. I'm going to help you get saved. Oh, Jesus. So the Lord quoted Deuteronomy as a foundation of what the works he thought would please the Lord. And Deuteronomy is a particular chapter in the Bible. You should read it sometime. It talks about various acts that really please the Lord. But amidst that, Jesus was not saying, do all the good stuff and avoid the bad stuff and you'll be okay. Because that's how some of us live our lives. I'll do the good stuff and I'll avoid the bad stuff and then Jesus is going to love me. Really? But what about, you said doing good and not doing bad. Well, then what have you done for anybody else other than you? Draw a circle, stand in it, that's who you are. But that's not what Jesus is looking for. So the issue here, it begins to kind of eke out. And here's the thing that will, I think, will help some of us come to a place of understanding. If you recall, Moses was a great, humble man. And he did all the right things, except there's one thing he did not do right. He was so ticked at the children of Israel that at one point when he, you know, when they're acting all crazy and this type of thing, and God said, speak to the rock, and he took his what you call it, his staff and struck the rock, and God says, that's it, you're not going into the promised land. So it must not be by works. Oh, he still got to go to heaven. But you know something? There's some things that you've done by your own undoing that there's some blessings that you'll never inherit in this life. And it's not God's fault. Because God told you what to do and you did just the opposite of what he told you. He said, speak to the rock. He said, I am so tired of them children of Israel, them no good, you know, if they want some water, here comes some water, smack. And God said, promised land, you'll never see it. Why does God, after all he'd been through with those folks, keep him from entering into the promised land? If I had the whole idea of what was going on, maybe I could answer that for you, but that's not what this story is about. Let me just kind of unpack that for you and see if it may help you. It's that the only way we get to heaven is through God's grace. It's not anything you've done, anything you've not done. It's because God gave his grace to you when you couldn't help yourself. When you couldn't make that right decision, when you couldn't go the right way, God's grace rescued you. And it was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that all of us have access to Jesus. That's an immeasurable gift. Well, let me just go a little bit further. Oftentimes, the things we give to people are not really given with them in mind. Don't look at me funny. Oh, this is good enough for her. Get that for her. I know she doesn't like red, but that's the only color they have. Huh? You want to get them something. She'll be happy I got her something. She don't like, she can paint it. The Samaritan, let me tell you about him just for a moment. He was a man who was the subject of our particular story, and he was the most unqualified giver. I want to tell you why. Because he's a half-breed. He was ethnically imperfect. He did not qualify, actually, to be on the same road with people that are traveling on that road. But somehow, the fact of him being ostracized by other folks did not keep him from showing compassion to someone that the Bible doesn't say. It says a certain man fell among thieves. Didn't say whether he's black, white, Jewish, whatever it happened to be. But he didn't let the ethnicity of that person stop him from extending to him the kindness and love that he needed. I want to help you today, you selective givers. You select the folks you want to be nice to. You know, she's my she's in my sorority. I told you could get saved today. Just listen. But you can't put a label on it. Is the fact of the matter is, their person is there. There's something that God wants to use through all of us. It's the C word. It's called compassion. It doesn't look at the person. It looks at the situation, and someone needs compassion, and God may want to use you. Well, also, the Samaritans were theologically imperfect. What? The only thing they accepted from the Bible was the first five books. And beyond that, it was suspect to them, and so they didn't subscribe to anything beyond that point. And some of you, your theology will keep you from helping folks. Oh boy, brace yourself for this one. It's coming. You may find people in this life that do not subscribe to what you believe is God's word. And first of all, let me tell you, I am not telling you to go against anything in God's word. But if something that a person does not meet up to God's word in some area, some of you will pass by that person. Well, you know they're into this particular thing and God isn't into it. So you will walk away and will not have anything to do with them. Because your theology is keeps you from getting involved with folks. Need I say about, you know, gender identification, all that kind of thing. And believe me, this is not a plea for anyone to compromise biblical values. But at the same time, if that keeps you from the humanity of who Jesus is, from you ministering to folks, you need some healing today.
That's right. Amen.
I would have helped her, but she had a rainbow on her shirt. And you know what rainbows mean. Really? I better move quickly because I feel I'm losing a few folks. I just got a couple more minutes that I'm going to spend with you and I'll be done. And don't tell nobody not to come back next week. I got to finish this thing, okay? And if you don't show up, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to sit. Our true motives for giving will be exposed when we consider the opportunities that are before us, which means we must consider what it means to be a neighbor to someone. I think I've got enough time to define that. We have to be divinely placed We have been divinely placed in proximity of people so that we may have impact on their lives. Every person that you have contact with, it's not. Oh, it's kind of a coincidence I ran into them. Ain't no coincidence. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. And if you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, God will have you have encounters. I don't know. I've ran into that person 3 times. Will you talk to them, please? It seems like every place I go under, because you haven't said anything. God gives us chances over and over and over again, and we are so stupid. Oh, here we go. These folks over here are spiritual. I'll be over with you folks more. You get an impression, as you say, I just had this strong feeling, this impression that I should call somebody. Did you call them? No. Why not? May I tell you something? You're not smart enough to get it on your own. The Holy Spirit had to bypass whatever facility you use to get things, and he says, why don't you give them a call? You guys don't get it. People over here, help me. And those of you that made that call, you'll find out, oh my goodness, this is a divine encounter. Oh, if you just called as I was, you know, and do you realize that God has created in you to be an answer to somebody else's problem? Get over yourself and get busy on sharing with people that you can really make an impact on. Wow. Now, I hope you didn't miss that little part that I gave you at the very beginning, because if you do just one thing during this season of giving, is to allow the Holy Spirit to direct you to somebody you've never met before, that you can do good in their life, I'll tell you what, it'll be the best Christmas you've ever had in your entire life. It will be. It honestly and truly will be. Well, I think you need to know, you must be willing to transfer some of your personal preferences in exchange for meeting someone's need for involvement in their life. The priest, Levite, they're on a mission. And some of us we don't want to be distracted from what we believe our mission is. So we make a number of reasons, I would help them, but. Would you move the but out of the way? Be careful, I'm going to say this, and I hope you don't get offended. Get up off your butt and do something. But I'm going to use, obviously, but I'm going to use B-U-T instead of B-U-T-T, okay? Get up off your butt and do something. I fixed it. Thank you, Jesus. Loving someone as ourselves is a choice that we make to enter into situations that will cause us. Now, here's the thing. It will cause you inconvenience, emotional and or financial investment. Whew. Wow. Arthur Katz, I've said this before many times. Some of you haven't heard it, so the rest of you have. Just hold on for a second. 1970, in Surrey, British Columbia, Arthur Katz was a speaker. He said something to me that changed my life forever. And I hope I can continue to follow that particular plan. He said these words, God has called us to inconvenience. God has called us to inconvenience. Do you think it was so convenient when this little young lady, about 13 years old, said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed will be the fruit of your womb, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit has selected you to be the one to bear the Son of God. Talk about inconvenient. Talk about there will be problems. She's engaged to someone, and we'll finish the story in a few weeks. But all of a sudden, she had to make a decision. Is she going to believe this particular encounter that she's having with the Holy Spirit? And she's willing to take all the rebuff and all the people say, yeah, right. Yeah, you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, sure. But I want to let you know, it may not be on that level, but it will be inconvenient. I mean, maybe it will make you unbelievable with some folks, but as long as you're obeying God, do what God is telling you to do. Well, loving someone as ourselves is a choice that we make to enter into situations that will cause that inconvenience. But how about this? Jesus has given us the prime example of what it means to be a good neighbor. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. That'll be the last scripture I'm going to do today, but here we go with it. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Let me stop right there. Jesus could have come as a prince, but he came as a pauper. And everyone just says, oh, you know, the cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, little Lord Jesus, no cry. Will you stop? You're nauseating me. Because you don't even believe that yourself. But the Bible says, taking on the form of a bond servant. It's more than a baby, it's a bond servant. It's when you grow up and people treat you like a slave. And you don't talk back, and you don't resist. You continue to do the works of Jesus, even though you're scorned and rebuked by folks. I want to tell you, who is your neighbor? The person that thinks the worst of you. But you're still going to be who Jesus wants you to be. You're not worried about what their output is. You're worried about what the Holy Spirit has told you that you've got to be. Well, and then verse 8, we get that, grab that real quick. Verse 8. Here we go. And being found in the appearance as a man, he, what's that word? Humbled himself and became, what's that word there? Obedient. Two words, humbled, obedient. To the point of, what's that word there? Death. Humbled, obedient, death. Don't sound like a party. Humility, obedience, the possibility of losing everything you have. But for the reason, because Jesus is going to do something in your life. I want to finish what I have to share with you just for today. And we'll put a little comma there. But how about this? We must be willing to adopt the mindset of Christ. We must be willing to put our reputation on the line for the benefit of others. You know what? You're not as good as you think anyway. I put my reputation on the line. Honey, if you knew what some people think of you, you'd be glad somebody, well, I'll leave that alone. Because we have an elevated opinion of who we are. Not good. But there is no greater love than a man who would lay down his life for his friend. Let me put a comma there, and I want to draw some conclusions for today. Here's the deal. When we come to this giving season, and the reason why I believe it's important for us to look at the Samaritan, is the Samaritan, when he made his choices, he didn't ask anybody, but he allowed himself to feel something. And I want access to that place in you today that's been walled off, that's been sealed off from other people, that the Holy Spirit has been wanting access to for a long time. Everybody bow your heads, everybody. I'm going to ask you a simple question. What would it take to allow the Holy Spirit access to that part of your heart that you've kind of closed off because you've had some bad experiences with some bad people? I further would like to insert into this message for those of you who have felt like you're that person that's been left wounded on the side of the road and nobody came to help you and nobody came to do anything for you. And somehow you're able to get out of that situation and there's a hardness in your spirit that says, you know, Christians, the church really failed me. I don't even want to be involved with some people like that. I can't fix it for all the things we haven't done, but I will tell you this much, that Jesus didn't leave you at the side of the road. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit would bring you to a place of allowing himself to bring comfort to you. I'm going to pray a prayer in this moment. And I pray without all the trappings we normally have, the song going and this type of thing, it just kind of gets to your emotions. I want to get beyond your emotions to the place where you live right now. To a place where the Holy Spirit has been telling you, I've been wooing you for a long time to let go of those things that have hurt you. To let go of your expectations of people that people never met them. I'm going to pray that today that the Holy Spirit will come to you in a brand new way. And there are people in this auditorium today that haven't given a thought to Jesus and the things that he's done. But I wonder if you would just give me access just for a moment. And I want to tell you something. God's been very good to you. In spite of all the hurt, the anguish, the pain, the misery, the abandonment issues that you faced, God's been very good to you. And though you may feel yourself on the side of the road, just kind of bleeding, left half dead, God is sending this Samaritan along today to say, you know what? You can ride on my horse. You can ride on my donkey. I'm going to take you to an inn, and not only am I going to take you to that particular place, but I'm going to put some money on the books that until you get totally well, you're going to be okay. Don't worry about doing anything. But I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of till you're on your feet, because some of you feel like you're at the lowest point in your life. And I'm going to pray right now, and Jesus is going to touch your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people in this room. There are people who have suffered some really hard and difficult things. And Lord, there's more to the story. We'll talk about it later on. But there's enough in this story for it to touch people today that says, you know what? I want to stop blaming people today, and I'm just going to reach out to Jesus, because he's the one that told the story of how we can be a neighbor to someone who really needs help. And Lord, I guess I'm the neighbor, and I need Jesus. I wonder if he would just stop by today and touch my life in a new and fresh way. With your head bowed, with your eyes closed, the answer is yes. It doesn't have to be that you're physically beat up, but emotionally, it's been rough. And maybe you don't see how you're going to make it to the next step, but I want to tell you that Jesus brought you to this service today to let you know that he sees you. Even when other people have passed you by, he sees you, and he wants to encompass you into his umbrella of love and restore you to your rightful place. And he's willing to let you ride on his beast, as it were, to a place of safety. And he's already put the installment down to take care of you by shedding his blood. And that blood will atone for your sins, and it will usher you into his presence where you never have to leave. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, there are people here today who say, you know, Pastor, I need to get my life in alignment with Jesus. I'm going to stop blaming people. I'm going to stop blaming mom and dad and my friends and relatives. But today I want to open my heart up and let Jesus be who he wants to be in my life. If that's you, lift your hand right now and say, you know, Pastor, I want to do that. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else says, go ahead, lift it up high. Leave it up there for a moment. God bless you. God bless you as well. Anybody else? Because I don't want to leave you out. God bless you. Put your hands. We're going to stand and sing the chorus of that song. You're a good, good father. Yes, you are, because he's a father of all of us. As we stand to our feet, let's sing this. You're a good, good father.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.